Grant Fiesel was an offensive lineman in the NFL. During his career, he took repeated hits on the football field that resulted in traumatic concussions. His wife says the brain trauma changed his personality from a loving husband to a verbally abusive alcoholic whose excessive drinking eventually led to his death.
Later, it was discovered that he had CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. That's a degenerative brain disease found in people who have suffered a severe blow or repeated blows to the head, and a disease that's becoming commonly associated with the game of football.
Now, Cindy Fiesel has devoted her life to raising awareness of CTE and the dangers of repetitive head injury. In a new book, she shares the story of what happened to her husband, a man who destroyed his brain playing a game he loved.
Cindy Fiesel is the author of After the Cheering Stops, an NFL wife's story of concussions, loss, and the faith that saw her through. She was married to former NFL lineman Grant Fiesel for 29 years. He died in 2012. Cindy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, Cindy, your husband's last words were, if I'd known what I loved most would end up killing me and taking away everything I loved, I would have never done it. Do you think that players today know enough about the potential for brain injury if they play that sport and take enough hits to the head?
Yes, I don't think it's talked about enough. I think that we see all the glitz and glamour, and we see the money, and don't understand what can happen when actually the lights go down and it's over. I say there should be a reality series that goes on after every NFL game to show what life is like when football is done. And I know some people have, you know, a great life and they are not affected. Every single player is not going to be affected by this, but the chances are very high because it's a sport-induced degenerative brain disease. And the repetitive hits are what causes this. And the concussions compound this disease. So, you know, while you're playing, you don't think about those things as much as you do when you're done.
And this is a disease, this brain trauma, that affected not just your husband's life and his health, but it affected his entire family's life together, your relationship with him, relationship with your children, your financial status. And now you're trying to bring attention to this. Why did you want to tell this story right now?
Well, because it's in the current events. It's in the news almost every day. It's very important for me to help people understand that this is a real disease. It's brain trauma caused by a sport, and not just football, but all high-impact sports. I'm saying soccer, hockey, anything that you could hit your head, boxing, wrestling, all of those things are very serious, cause very serious trauma to the head. And so I just think that more and more people need to start hearing the facts, what really can happen in these sports.
I want to start at the beginning of your story. What kind of person was your husband, Grant, before the brain trauma and the problems that came along with that?
Oh, he was awesome. He was a beautiful man, and he was not only beautiful to look at, but he was also just super smart. He was an academic, All-American, all 5 years in college. He won every award that there was to win at our college as far as academics goes, as well as athletic. So it was a great combination. I'd say he was a Renaissance man. He loved poetry, and he loved music, and we had a lot of common interests. He was a gentle giant. So he was everything that anybody would ever be looking for.
So he played football from the time. He was already a football player when you met him, and he went on to play in NFL teams. So how long did that career last, and what was it like for him?
Well, he played 117 games in the NFL over 10 years. And he did have some serious injuries, and I thought to be career-ending injuries, but he continued to play. He had a serious knee injury, and he had a lot of physical ailments that started taking a toll on him at the end of his career. After a serious staph infection, he started coming in with little bags of pills, and they were unmarked, not sure what they were, but, you know, I found out later they were Percocet. However, he had trouble sleeping. He just had trouble being comfortable. I mean, you know, people forget that this is a human body that plays this game. And so every week when we're cheering on, hit them harder, you know, the player has a tough time the day after just getting around. It's a very difficult to overcome all the aches and pains that you have. He also started coming in the house and bringing in six-packs and sacks, which was not unusual, you know, for him to just for people to bring in a six-pack, but to bring a six-pack in and drink it all, put it back in the bag, and then take it out to the dumpster. It was unusual behavior. So between the pills and the alcohol, that was definitely not what he'd done in the past. When he retired, the night he retired, he drank a bottle of Jack Daniels. All of those things were not in character to who he'd been prior. Also, the night that he retired, he gave me a small box. It was a gift wrapped up because our anniversary was coming up soon, and he was retiring, so he gave me a gift. And inside the box was a diamond ring, and it was identical to one that he'd given me a year prior. Well, that certainly wasn't normal behavior for him because he had been so meticulous and he was so organized and he kept up with things so well. It was unusual behavior for him to do any of these things.
We're talking with Cindy Fiesel right now. She's the author of the new book, After the Cheering Stops, and she's sharing her story right now of what happened to her husband, Grant Fiesel, after his 10 years in the NFL, and talking about CTE, the traumatic brain injury, and the dangers there. And Cindy, you didn't know at the time that your husband was reacting to physical problems in the brain. You just knew that, that things were spiraling out of control. So how did you deal with what was happening?
Well, it was really difficult because I call it the slow fade. It would just be a little bit at a time. After he retired, one day I was putting up clothes in his closet, and I found a bottle of Crown Royal stuffed back into his closet. And I left it out, and I said to him, what is this, and why is it in your closet? He said, oh, I got it at a golf tournament, and, you know, I put a little bit in my Diet Coke at night because before I go to bed, it helps me to sleep. And so those things, again, were just not normal behavior patterns. I didn't know what to think. I knew that he was drinking more and more, and he was complaining more and more about health issues. He would say, you don't have any idea of what I'm dealing with. And I didn't. I had no idea. I just thought that, you know, I was dealing with somebody becoming an alcoholic because he just drank so much and so frequently. So it was a slow fade, but it spiraled out towards the end and it got very serious. And then, of course, I didn't even know anything about CTE until after his death. And I was looking at the Mayo Clinic's website, just looking up to see what the symptoms of CTE were, just to help myself understand it more. And it was difficulty thinking, impulsive behavior, depression, short-term memory loss, difficulty planning and carrying out tasks, emotional instability, substance abuse, irritability, aggression, speech difficulties, motor impairment, vision and focus problems, trouble with smell, and dementia. He had had all of those. So I was stunned to think that all of those things that had happened during his lifetime had been symptoms to this disease, this brain trauma. It was overwhelming to me. It just it made me overwhelmingly sad and just devastated me. And in the book, I talk about at length about, you know, all the different stories that coincided with my journals and my writings that I'd kept over the years.
So all those years when he was struggling, you never knew. No one ever said to you, you know, hey, Cindy, we think it might be CTE. It might be this brain trauma that some professional players are having and other people. So why do you think it took so long to come out?
Well, now, towards the very end of his life, he was saying, you know, I think I may have what Mike Webster had. I think I may have what, you know, Junior Seau had. And so he did speak of these people, but again, when you've been living in this life that had just deteriorated, you know, I didn't go sit and look these things up. I didn't have any idea. I didn't know. I just thought, you know, I really didn't even think about it. But he was thinking about it, and he was talking about it. I didn't know enough about it. I hadn't heard about it the way we're hearing about more of the symptoms now. So it was overwhelming to me to think that he had really been dealing with not only addiction, but he'd been dealing with obviously the pain and just the decline in his health due to the traumatic brain disease.
And the official medical cause of your husband's death was liver failure from the alcohol abuse. But after his death, his brain was donated to the Concussion Legacy Foundation. What did it feel like to realize, you know, as you said, as you were looking at those Mayo lists and you got the diagnosis that, yes, he had CTE, what did it feel like to have that answer finally?
Well, it made more sense to me for sure, because for so many years I'd just been mad and sad and emotionally in a bad place. And I'm going to have to take some credit for the fact that I became a huge codependent, constantly hiding all the things that he was doing. And so people didn't even realize that he had gotten to be severe with his symptoms until the very end of his life, when it just spiraled out of control. So I was just overwhelmed. It scared me so much to think about, you know, the fact that I wished I could have done something. I know that I couldn't have, but I thought if I just had more facts, if I'd known more. I didn't want anybody else to go through what I'd been through. That's one of the reasons why I was so thankful that the book, After the Cheering Stops, was it was just great for me to write it. It was therapeutic for me to write it, because I'd had so many years of just not knowing. I say navigating in the darkness, Grant and I, neither one having any idea really what was going on with him. So I say, if I can save one person from writing this book, and they could look at it and think, man, this is what's going on in our life, I need to get my loved one to a clinic or somewhere where they can have at least be measured to see what's going on in their life. There's not a cure for it, but you can definitely go to different hospitals and you can be under care. I suggest going to Dr. Daniel Amen's clinic at theamenclinics.com. He has done a lot of research on the brain, and he has seen a lot of professional football players and a lot of athletes. So I'm saying, try to get your loved one there. He's got clinics all over the United States.
And we'll get back and hear more in just a bit as we talk with Cindy Fiesel. She's the author of the new book, After the Cheering Stops. And she's with us sharing her story of what happened to her husband, Grant Fiesel, after his 10 years in the NFL, and how traumatic brain injuries devastated their marriage and their lives. And she's now, as you heard, speaking out in an attempt to raise awareness of CTE and the dangers of repetitive head injury.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're a parent, do you let your kids play football or other contact sports? Do you worry about concussions, brain injuries, these long-term impacts? If you've played yourself, have you suffered these kind of brain injuries? Do you still experience issues stemming from them now? As a football fan, do you worry about these kind of injuries? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're talking right now with Cindy Fiesel. She's the author of the book, After the Cheering Stops, an NFL wife's story of concussions, loss, and the faith that saw her through. In addition to sharing her personal story, she's speaking out in an attempt to raise awareness of CTE and the dangers of repetitive head injury.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Have brain injuries and concussions turned you off from the game of football or other contact sports? Would you let your kids play? Do you think there's a future for the sport? What, if anything, would you like to see changed in the game of football and other contact sports, for that matter? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And Cindy, in recent years, you've been getting into speaking out, reaching out to educate parents and individuals about the dangers of CTE, this brain trauma injury. What are the most important things that you think parents should know about?
Well, I think that they should check their school's policies. I'm saying, you know, do we sign our kids up and not have any clue what's going on? Read, look at all the resources, find out what your school's policy is on contact sports. Educate yourself about, do they have a waiver? Is there a waiver at your school that says this sport can cause a traumatic brain injury or traumatic brain trauma? Do they do a baseline pre-injury for every athlete? There's a great test called the King-Divick test, and it's an eye movement test. If your child has any kind of hits during a game that you're not certain whether they have a concussion or not, they can be analyzed right on the sidelines. Does your school offer that? Just check the resources. More than anything, you know, we teach our kids to be careful when they're walking across the street. So why wouldn't we want to make sure that there's policies in place at the school that we entrust for them to go to with their athletics?
Now, are we just talking about football here? Or are we talking about other sports that could be something to be concerned about if you're a parent?
Definitely. I say all high-impact sports, soccer, wrestling, boxing, anything that you could have your brain could be moved back and forth. I said, I must have been asleep during science class when I was growing up. I had no idea that the brain was as soft as it is. And over the years, as I've been doing this research, I've just been shocked to find out that the brain is like butter or jello. In my opinion, there couldn't be a helmet in the world that could keep your brain from moving if it were to be hit with a high impact. So I'm just saying, do the research on how that is as well. Your brain is very delicate. So there's a good chance that your child could get a concussion during the school year when they're playing. 50% of them never report a symptom because they don't want to lose their spot. I think we all understand that, even all the way up to the NFL. You don't want to go out because if you do, you're going to lose your spot. So a lot of times the kids don't even talk about the injury that they might get just in practice. The CDC says that concussions have doubled in the last 10 years. Boys are more common to get football concussions in football. Girls, it could be in soccer. So there's just all sorts of ways that in the headbanging sports that they could really do some damage to themselves. And so I'm saying all parents, please do the research. See what can happen. Realize that CTE is a sport-related brain trauma. Repeated blows to the head cause a degenerative brain disease. The longer someone plays, the more likely the potential is to put them at risk for serious injury later on.
Let's take a caller now. We've got Jim with us in Appleton. Jim, hi.
Hi. I guess I had a son play football, and when he came home and talked about some of the things that are going on in the field, I was very concerned. And I'm so glad he's not playing anymore, and he's away from it. I really believe WIA needs to do more to get on it right away, and they aren't. They're sort of giving a blind eye toward injuries, and they really need to step to the plate and work on it. They could do like videos, they're taking videos of the game right away anyway. They could be reacting quicker to it, pulling kids that are doing nasty hits on other kids and get rid of the problem right away. That way they'll send a strong message to kids that are doing stuff they shouldn't be doing on the field that, hey, it's not tolerated.
Jim, thank you so much for that call and for sharing your own story there. And what do you think about that, Cindy? I mean, what responsibility does an organization like the WIAA or other youth sports coordinators, what responsibility do they have to keep kids safe?
I agree. I say that you shouldn't even be playing contact football, tackle football, until you're 14. I don't even think it's a good idea to play past 14 just because of what's happened to my husband. He's not alive anymore. We didn't know anything. Now we know so much more. It just surprises me that so many parents sign their kids up and they don't have any, or they don't act like they have any idea that this could happen to their child. And it's not random. It's happening more and more. 90% of the brains that have been looked at have CTE, have this disease. I mean, it's so important that parents are cautious, and I appreciate the caller. There could be so much more done, and I agree. Every school, anybody, any organization that allows children to play football or these high-impact sports needs to look at what the long-term effects could be.
And looking back at the NFL now, the NFL has been criticized for not doing enough to ensure player safety. I mean, they have implemented some changes. They've had medical spotters and neurological consultants on hand. That's a change. Do you think, though, that enough is being done right now?
No. And I think that, in my opinion, it's all about the money. And so why are they going to talk about the dangers when people are making millions and millions of dollars? I mean, it's a huge money maker. It's all about greed, in my opinion. So, again, they're not talking about what happens when these players quit. And, again, it's not every single player has an effect, but I'm telling you, all of them have something because they've got problems with some body part, their knees or their back or whatever. But nobody talks about what happens when it's over.
And Cindy, I want to ask you a bit about the money, because money was a problem for you as Grant was going through His alcoholism and trouble with his brain injury toward the end of his life. But do you think the NFL does enough to take care of their players who do have CTE and might need extra care?
No. No, I don't. We never even made a claim for any insurance claim or anything that went on with Grant because we had no idea that whatever was happening to him was CTE. Again, he didn't have any surgeries. He didn't have anything done to his back or his knees or anything else. A lot of these guys have had all sorts of surgeries. And when you're done, you're done. And so I just think it's a huge problem, and I don't think that they talk about it enough. I think that there should be a waiver that every NFL player signs, and maybe there is. I don't know. No one talks about it. Is there a waiver that they sign that where they sign off and say, oh, you know, I know that I can have long-term brain effects and a possibility of having CTE. I would say now to anyone that wanted to even play college football, there needs to be a waiver on there that says, I know that I could have a traumatic brain disease at the end of my 4 years of playing college ball. There's kids that are dying of this disease. It's not just for college and NFL. Even children, there's so many that have died already and have CTE and their brains are in a brain bank. I'm saying to everyone, look at being a brain donor. The Mayo Clinic has a great program. If you're going to let your child play a sport like this and you know that the long-term effects could be something that could cause them to not live their entire life, think about donating brains because it's needed to continue to form a timeline so that we know more and more about this disease.
Well, Cindy, I'm sorry for your loss, and thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much.
That was Cindy Fiesel. She's the author of After the Cheering Stops, an NFL wife story of concussions, loss, and the faith that saw her through.
You can share your stories and your thoughts on what you've heard and on high-impact sports like football. Head over to the Central Time Facebook page and let us know what you think and what maybe your family has been through.